This is Catherine Newman, writer of the Dalai Mama blog. It's February 26, 2007, and today's entry is A Juggling Act. Oddly enough, I seem to be constitutionally incapable of learning to juggle. At a recent birthday party of a friend of Ben's, each kid got a trio of balls, and the parents, former circus performers, tried to teach us all. Basics were learned and honed, skills were mastered or at least initiated, beanbags were tossed successfully from hand to hand, just not by me. I'm not sure the Jews are really a juggling people, I joked, while balls flew willy-nilly from my fingers and flubbed to the ground, which makes the fact that I can more or less handle my actual life all the more mystifying to me. Some days it feels like flaming pins, dozens of them, looping in arcs around me, and I can keep them in the air only by not stopping to think too hard about it. I keep a running to-do list on one of those computer notes that sits on your desktop like a virtual post-it, and I cannot delete tasks faster than I add them. I work 5 or 6 different writing jobs, in addition to my half-time job as a college department secretary. And so the list is long and strange, organized top to bottom by priority. Essays, editing, meetings, copywriting for an online golf sweepstakes that involves my looking up golfing terms on Wikipedia. Hey, Michael, does bogey yourself on down to the green work as a snappy intro? No. Dentist appointments, craft testing, various less favored winter vegetables that need to be eaten before they rot, passport renewals, laundry, library books that need returning, exercise, the pinata for Bertie's birthday, and research for a piece I'm writing about healthy junk food, although I should disclose here that my research of junk food is an ongoing and personal project, not entirely constrained by the piece I'm working on. If I accomplish something that's not on the list, I actually type it in and then delete it, all in one motion, like Bertie, who will unzip her jacket, take it off, and put it immediately back on because she wanted to do it herself. Michael does this too. In one legendary incident, I spied on a list of his special time with Catherine, crossed out, right under a note about the garbage disposal. Honey, I teased him for weeks. Whatever that special time was, thank goodness we got it over with. But I wasn't offended. Just because it's a sexy, flaming pin that you cherish doesn't mean your partner isn't still another flaming pin in the air, right? And it's not about whether you work outside of the house or not, because whoever you are, you're doing this too, this thing where you're trying to solve the Rubik's Cube of your life, consolidating one color without screwing up the rest of them, where you're like Wile E. Coyote, sprinting off the cliff and through the air, trying to put off the moment when you notice the absence of ground and plummet downwards, trying not to, say, leave one child behind in a stroller at an airport checkpoint because you were busy counting the luggage. Things can make it easier, of course. A flexible job, good and affordable child care, health insurance, financial resources, a supportive partner, and or a devoted community of friends. But the only way to make it actually all work, as you surely know, is to pay attention to one thing at a time, specifically to your kids when you're spending time with them. This is not a radical idea, of course, and I didn't need to meditate in Tibet for 100 years, nibbling raw rice and marigold petals to offer it here. And yet for some of us, it requires a daily, a moment-to-moment renewal of commitment to put the Dalai back in our mama, if you know what I'm saying. To quiet the nagging voice of anxiety in our heads, quit the compulsive checking of email and the compulsive adding of items to the list, and to be with our kids when we're actually with them. I don't mean that I don't wash the dishes while they sit at the kitchen table with dishes of ice cream, or that they don't play alone while I work upstairs for various stretches of the day. I mean that when Ben curls up in my lap to read his Nature magazine, I press my nose to his hair, inhale that achingly familiar, fleeting smell, and know that this is life as good as it gets. I brush the snow out of Bertie's sleeves and collar after a spectacular sledding mishap and kiss her cheeks as pink and plump and ready to bite as marzipan apricots. Or, after a spectacular bathroom mishap, I wipe poop off the floor with wads of paper towel breathing through my mouth while my heart pounds out the rhythm of tasks that await me elsewhere. Except that Bertie laughs and returns me to this one and only here and now, "Oh my God," she exclaims cheerfully. "How revolting was that?" When she flings her happy arms around my neck, well, it's not that it doesn't matter that life is often too frantic or peculiar, or that I can be panicky, impatient, or distracted. It's just that all the balls thud from the air to the ground all around me, because this matters more.